everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Too Many Trailers. I'm Marianne.
And I'm Kelsey.
And this is the podcast where we break down movie trailers and we discuss things we liked and didn't like and what we're thinking about how the movie's going to be.
That is a beautiful iTunes description of our podcast.
Oh my God, thank you. I like that we don't say the same thing every week. Sometimes we mix it up.
It's a surprise for everyone. And like
including us.
And every time someone, you know, starts listening, it's the first time for everyone. That's what I'm trying to say.
You're right. Even me, as it was coming out of my mouth, I was like, I don't know what I'm saying, but I'll just keep talking and hope it makes sense and that we don't have to re-record.
Improv.
I'm so bad at that.
Me too.
Alrighty.
So we have two wonderful trailers. Well, we have two trailers for you this week. We have Abominable.
And Official Secrets.
Do, do, do.
Oh
my gosh. So not the quickest intro we've had, but let's jump right in.
I was going to say, but this is pretty damn quick.
This is, I think that's what happens when we talk the day before.
Right. So yesterday we got together and like had our vent session / like hangout time so that theoretically we would be able to start our recording on time and also record in a timely manner.
Hey, we did 20 minutes beforehand. That's a new record.
That is pretty fantabulous.
That's a word I haven't heard since middle school, but yes, it's pretty fucking fantabulous.
Thank you. See, it's coming. It's coming back.
Marianne's gonna bring it back. If you hear that word outside in the real world, just so you know, it started here on Too Many Trailers on this episode.
You're welcome. And good night. I feel like that should be a very good end to our podcast.
Is that our new send off? You're welcome and good night.
You're welcome. Just that. Just that. You're welcome.
And card exit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Alrighty. So let's jump right into the official trailer for Abominable. This movie is coming out on September 27th of this year.
Alright.
Mm-hmm. The director is Jill Colton.
Can I just tell you I spelled her name wrong like 42 times when I wrote it down?
Jill Cutlett.
Shockingly, none of them were Cutlett.
What?
It was a lot of Coltron. Because I think I was just writing the word Ultron.
You're like, oh, Avengers.
I added some extra letters everywhere. But yeah.
Interesting. And it's co-directed by Todd Wilderman.
So, funnily enough, is that a word?
It sure. Is now.
It is now. She directed Open Season.
Yes.
And Todd Wilderman did Open Season 2.
Fantabulous.
Yeah, I'm sure that Open Season 1 and 2 were both very
Well,
fantabulous.
She also wrote Monsters, Inc., where she helped write Monsters, Inc. And
right,
then,
so I'm like, you've got opposite ends of your spectrum of like how good to get
great films
be.
And not so great films. Right. Up to you to decide which film I'm talking about.
But we all know that we're talking about a good film being
Monsters
Inc.
And then Jill Cutlett. The writer is also Jill Colton. Jill Colton.
I told you, Aaron! Fuck you! I'm sorry! You got it right the first time. You could just not say it again because then we said
the writer is the director.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, and the composer for this was Rupert Gregson Williams, which sounded really familiar to me. I think so.
Okay.
It sounded really familiar, and I was like, oh, he's done something, like, I definitely know that I definitely, like, own, because I've seen that, like, in my list of artists,
right,
like, on iTunes or whatever. So I, like, looked through his whole history on IMDb, and I was like, no, none of this is right. So then I'm looking him up, and I was like, what the hell? So then I had to go to iTunes and figure out, and he has a brother named Harry Gregson Williams,
who is
also a composer, who has done like a similar amount of work. Like, so Rupert has like 70 composing credits, and his brother has like 100.
Jesus,
I know. But Rupert Gregson Williams has done Wonder Woman,
all right,
The Crown,
all right,
and then films like Over the Hedge.
You know what?
But that's good, because this is an animated film, so we need to know that you can kind of do the kids, family kind of vibe. Exactly. So I was like, all right, this is great. You've done the whole spectrum.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Hooray. Let's get into the cast. The cast is literally, I think, like around 6 or 7 people.
Kelsey's day was so made happy. Yesterday when I was like, wow, look how small the cast is. And she was just like, oh, this is the best day. Yeah. God bless.
And compared to our other trailer, Official Secrets, this is like just incredible. Oh boy. All right. So our cast is Albert Tsai. We have Chloe Bennett.
Woo!
Sarah Paulson.
Woo! Woo!
Oh! Oh! Hands up! Hands up!
Ramble section!
Wait, is it our Rainbow Connection?
It sure is, Kelsey.
Oh, wonderful.
Because if you don't all know this, Sarah Paulson is a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been in a relationship with Holland Taylor for a very long time.
So cute.
And it was like under wraps for a long time, and everybody was speculating. And there's the age gap, so people were like, maybe
that's more why. Was that more why they were
people, under wraps? People were, and I think people were also more like unsure in their speculations because you know, people, especially gay ladies, decide that they're gonna just put everybody that could possibly be dating each other into dating each other.
Mm-hmm.
So people held off because they were like, are they? Aren't they? Are they? Aren't they?
With the whole
and they are.
Yeah, and they've been in great.
And they are adorable.
They're the cutest relationship.
Holland
I've ever
Taylor
seen.
Is like the most supportive girlfriend I've ever seen in the entire world.
She
like,
really
Sarah
is.
Sarah Paulson will do anything. She'll be like, "Look at this beautiful woman doing all of these amazing things," and everybody's just like, "Wow, Holland Taylor, crushing it,
crushing it." We have Eddie Izzard, Tenzing Norgay Trainer. And last but certainly not least, we have Michelle Wong.
Love it.
Love it.
What a great cast.
Wonderful cast.
You know why, Kelsey?
Why?
Because what ethnicity are the characters in this movie?
Asian.
And
they're
what
Asian.
Ethnicity and race are the
Asian
cast.
Actors playing? They're playing Asian characters?
What?
Oh my god, it makes me so happy. This is like 90% of the reason why I wanted to talk about this.
Yeah.
Especially because, A, we don't see a lot of, you know, Asian or, you know, Chinese characters, mm-hmm. per se, represented in animation. And a lot of the times they're more characterized and more, you know, cartoonized than actually, like,
right.
I mean, I understand that this is a kid's movie, but... You know, films like Big Hero 6 or it's more such a great movie. But it's still the Asian characters
mm-hmm.
are more like cartoony. You know what I mean? It's hard to explain because obviously they're cartoony, but they're more like not grounded.
Hmm.
So in Big Hero 6, the Chinese character or Asian
hero.
Big Hero 6? What did
well,
it
say? Well, no, his name is Hero.
Well, Hero and then there's the girl.
Oh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So most female Asian characters we see always have, like, different color hair. They're different, like, they're, like kawaii type of characters. However, in this one, you know, her hair is not stylized to be, like, your stereotypical Asian female and everything. And I think that's a really good step just to be, like, she's a normal person. She's not, like,
right.
She's not part of this, like, I don't know. She's not part of this... greater stereotype that we choose to see Asian characters in action films or action like kids films.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why it's so good to see this type of movie being represented.
All right. Great.
Thanks. All right. I as a white person
would like to accept
this.
Your thanks.
Yeah.
All right. Should we jump right in?
Yes.
All right. So my first note was about Asian representation, so
done
good
with
job.
and that's all we're going to talk about it.
And that's it. Good night. So I saw this trailer in theaters
Same.
The first time, because I think we saw it together in theaters. Did
Probably
see
Captain Marvel, I'm going to say.
Captain Marvel, yeah. That makes sense.
I think it was either Captain Marvel or another film.
My only other thought, but that was probably too long ago. Was Into the Spider-Verse, but that's a really
it's
long
way
time
too long
ago, right?
Yeah.
I thought of that in my head because I was like, when was the last kid-focused movie I saw? So yeah, probably Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And I liked it, but I thought it, and this is still the same thing I'm thinking a little bit, is that it's a little on that repetitive theme of we just had the movie Smallfoot about Bigfoot, and we just had another movie about
Missing Link.
The Missing Link, and stuff like that. So I was like,
it's going on the trend of the Giganticus, you know, monkey type creature, the cryptids.
Yeah, which I get, like, that sometimes you're on a theme and, like, people are really into it, but also at the same time I'm like, but this is the same, like, basis of this movie. Like, The Missing Link was a little bit different.
Right,
but
Smallfoot was a little... Like, but it's from the Yeti's perspective.
Right, but I'm like, but why are we just... But it's the same thing, in, essentially. Somebody is trying to own the giant creature and the...
Well, that's more Missing Link.
Or something. Yeah. But it's like... And then the other person is trying to free it.
Right, exactly.
Which is good, and it's a very good basis, obviously. I'm not mad about that. I'm just like, oh,
I mean, that happens with, like, I mean, that's the same thing with, like, Jurassic Park films. Like, they just want to own the big creatures because capitalism and money and...
No, I know.
And it's the same. I mean, obviously, yeah, it's the same plot, but it's a kid's movie.
No, I know. Kids don't give a fuck about it. I know. I'm just like, wow, we just had a lot of... big creature movies in the past year and a half.
Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Well, I meant kid-focused cartoon movies, hopefully. Not necessarily exactly what you're...
I did like that it did open up with Chinese culture, though.
Yeah, you know, it's a little stereotypical with the grandmother.
Yes, no, it is still stereotypical, as I just said. However, the main character is not as stereotypical as,
you know, she's not, which I feel like you get a lot sometimes with, like, things that have Asian representations. You always have the kid being rebellious against their culture.
Exactly.
Because they're
like, because it's too traditional.
It's too traditional. You're not letting me be free and expressive.
Right. I mean, yeah, but it is also sometimes... I mean, again, I'm not part of the Chinese culture. I can't speak on this. However... It is still okay to have films, I feel like, that still represent life.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
It only becomes stereotypical when it's in every single film, as we do see, however...
Or when it's only this kind of behavior.
Right, exactly.
Right. So the only thing that I was, like, hoping for, and, like, hopefully we'll get in the movie, is that, like, I get that the grandmother character is going to be very, like, traditional.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping the mom is going to be a little bit more...
Little lax and everything.
Yeah, exactly. That would be
great,
because I feel like if everybody in her family is so, like, traditional and, like...
It'd be too much.
It's going to be too much.
Yeah,
so
too stereotypical, I should say.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that...
Exactly.
Maybe somebody else
you can only
keep it open.
Again.
And then at the very beginning, before I, like, we, like, learned more about the violin and all that stuff at the beginning, I was like... All right, so we're being stereotypical, and we're making her play the violin. Come on, how much stereotype
can we take?
But it was her dad, so... And then they said about the dad, and I was like, okay, fine. But I was just like, make sure you explain this, otherwise
please,
I'm going to be mad.
For the love of God, explain this.
explain your stereotypical behavior.
Please. I love the monster. So much.
Oh my God, he's so cute.
The cutest thing. I want that thing
as a
plush.
Squishy?
Yes, absolutely. I am obsessed with plushes. I have 5 plushes I'm very proud to own.
They're really great.
Thank you. However, I understand, like, the marketability of this, like, of this movie. This is Pixar and, like, a Pluto or whatever.
Is this Pixar or is this DreamWorks?
DreamWorks. So this is DreamWorks. So it's not so much like where they're going to be, like, Disney's going to be putting these on the backpacks, whatever.
Yeah.
But I would like to see
it released as
a stuffed animal plush for children
and me.
But I feel like it has, like, a lot of characteristics. Do you know Coco the gorilla?
Yes.
So it reminded the Abominable Snowman reminded me a lot of Coco, like when. It was, like, speaking in sign language and everything, which I loved.
Coco.
And
Coco. Oh, crying when Robin Williams died. Oh, no. I'm so emotional. We're just thinking about how sad Coco was.
Well, I mean, Abominable Snowmans, if we're going to get into an evolutionary aspect to it, they're still part of, like, the gorilla type of lineage. And, you know, there's the whole thing. It's, like, the whole conspiracy and... cryptid behind it is that they still exist because it's on the same thing as, like, Bigfoot, because the gorillas descended from these animals that were like 10 feet tall creatures. And so they had the ones in Asia, which are the Yetis, and the one in North America, which are Bigfoots. So that's, I mean, so it was nice to see like the elements of like a gorilla monkey type animal.
Right.
That also kind of like had a little bit more groundedness, even though cryptids are not real. But some
and
would
even
say,
though this one has a lot of magic elements that are maybe not exactly like, yeah, let's
just
make it
trying
realistic.
To say that the monkey can be magic. You don't
okay.
know. You never know. So
it's true. We don't know.
We don't know.
We weren't there. Thank God. Can you imagine 10-foot things? No, thank you. Excellent use of music.
Oh, I was
when
just about to say.
Like the version of like own, of like the Go Your Own Way that I don't know the actual title of the song.
Go Your Own Way. I love that song.
Fleetwood Mac.
Sorry. Yeah. That's.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is good.
It's
I think they
so
could have even taken it
a step further, I think.
And, like, changed it a little bit more.
A little. Like, they could have had, like, maybe more a cappella.
Yes, that's
and then,
what I was
like,
thinking. A little bit, like, slower.
A little slower, just so you can get the more, like, flowiness when they're, like, going through the clouds
and
shit. And
you could have just had it with a violin playing, and that was it. And
yes.
The singing. That would have been really
or
good
Or just,
tie-in.
Like, one person or something.
Like, just, like, a violin and one singer. You know
yes.
what I mean? And that would have been perfect because then it would have been tying in the violin piece and all that.
Yeah, exactly. I loved it when they were going through
it.
The clouds and the, like the violin started going.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, good choice.
It was cool.
So I have a problem with one thing. It's not against the movie.
Okay.
It's against what kids' films are now. And this is kind of going to, it's going to tie in.
Okay.
So,
no, I believe you. I
feel like a lot of kids' movies now lean on too much adult humor.
Mm.
And I feel like a lot of, like, I think, did you see the new Addams Family trailer?
I sure did not.
So there's a lot of, like, adult jokes.
I bet.
Like, a lot. And I think that it goes in the trend that they're trying to make it more an adult kids' film
mm-hmm.
so the adults can enjoy it too. With the kids, and, like, the jokes can kind of go over the kids' heads, and,
right.
you know, they can watch it maybe, like, 3 or 4 years later and then get the jokes or whatever.
And I think they're trying to appeal to a larger audience by appealing
yes.
to, like, people about our age who
yes.
are, like, a little bit older but still kind of clinging back on some of that.
Still really trying to hold on to their childhood, and they're being like, well, I like kids' films, but
yeah.
they're, like, not really made for kids. They're really more made for adults with,
sometimes,
like, PG,
yeah.
you know, PG humor.
Right.
I feel like this film, though, is going to be more for kids than it is going to be for adults.
I hope so.
I really hope so. I feel like the jokes that were given
mm-hmm.
In the trailer were very, you know, kid-focused and
yeah.
kid-centered. Like, you know, the blueberries and, like, the back of the pants was really funny. And, you know, his brother being like, hey, like, the mom's like, oh, like, where's your brother? And he's, like, looking at the kid in the
he's
Yeti's
like
mouth.
Being
and
eaten.
Yeah.
He's like, he's fine.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like a lot of this humor is going to be more kid-focused,
I
which
so.
I really
yeah.
appreciate. Oh, yeah. And I really appreciate that because I feel like it's okay to have a kid's film and not so much just a film for adults and kids.
Right. And things can still be enjoyable without having to include adult humor.
Exactly.
Like, for adults.
Yeah. And I feel like that's a lot of the kids' films now. Like,
yeah.
The one with Tom Holland and Chris Pratt that was about, like, how the fantasy life... It's a shitty trailer.
Oh, the new one?
Yeah.
That's coming
like
out?
Like, Onwards or something?
Onward.
That's, like, a lot of adult humor.
Yeah, and I feel like that is aimed at a little bit of a higher age
probably, like,
group.
Middle school, maybe?
Yeah, like a late elementary school, like,
yeah.
going into that, because, like, the themes look like a little
yeah.
bit more advanced, but
yeah.
I agree,
yeah,
yeah, that's one of those ones where like, you're like, all right.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there's a difference in, like, production studios, like, I wonder, like, how Pixar compares to DreamWorks versus Disney,
right.
like, on their use of adult humor,
because it
just is an interest
right.
in my own, now I'm going to have to go look at that up.
Because I feel like once, when Pixar and Disney split,
mm-hmm.
You know, Disney, I feel like, got more adult focused because of the fact that they were
oh,
done
so
with
they
like
were
the princesses.
Different things too.
Yeah. And they felt like they were probably leaning towards more the adult humor so they can grab more people. And to say like the adults were like, oh yeah, you should go see that with like your kids rather than
right.
being like, just bring one parent, like bring a few kids, you'll be fine. like
just suffer through it.
Just suffer through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like and a lot of it is because they're kind of appealing more to the critics who are adults.
Yeah.
They're trying to get more better reviews for the adults, and so they're like, well, let's put adult humor because then the adults will enjoy it and give us a better rating. You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then in typical kids movie style, there's a dead parent.
Oh, of course.
I was like, oh, it only took us 20 seconds of this trailer to get to that point.
It wasn't like Batman where it's like, my parents are dead.
Yeah. Except instead of in second one, it was second 20. 20.
Growth.
Yeah.
Is it?
Is it, though?
I have a question for you. How do you feel about the violin having powers?
That's my whole point. Okay. So my, like, last bigger point I can just start talking about now, because we can kind of, like, bring it up, like, in this. So is that it's a really cute, like, looking movie, but there's no clear plot because it's like, okay, we're returning the Yeti to the wild, but he has magics, which is confusing. And then, but also then why does the violin have to be magic?
I'm confused on...
I don't know why it has magic, and I don't know if it does... It didn't need it.
No, not at all.
I thought. Also, I wrote this nice thing, that, like, part of, like, the great thing about music is that it's, like, powerful by itself, and it doesn't need that magical element to make it important and make it special to her, especially when she already has this, like... You know, if the violin wasn't connected to her dad at all, then I understand, like, giving it, like, special powers.
If it was just, like, her own, like, power rather than making it the power from her dad to the violin.
Right. And also, like, and if it was, like, oh, she, like, found this violin and it had powers or whatever, that would be different. But here, like, the violin itself already has all this importance to her, so it has importance to the story already, so it didn't need any extra stuff.
Yeah. I felt like, do you know the whole thing of Chekhov's gun? This is weird that we're bringing this into a kid's film. But I feel like that's kind of what it is. So they, like, introduced, you know, the violin. And so now they're saying, like, well, because we introduced this, like, thing, it has to have some importance
in the past. But it could have had so much importance.
It didn't need to.
Without the magic. Yeah, it didn't already did. The second you said it was from her dad, that's all you needed.
That's important enough.
It's like Coco, the guitar in Coco.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Coco.
Nope, different Coco.
Yes.
It's like in Coco with the guitar. Like, the guitar's importance is like, I mean, there's like magical things with that too.
There's
but not necessarily
elements, but like not
connected
so much.
Necessarily just straight to the guitar. But like, the importance is like the guitar and that it's from his family.
Right. That's all it needs.
And that's all it needed.
I feel like they were like in the writer's room being like, what do we have next? The violin. It's magic.
Ta-da. I thought it was, like, when she was playing the violin, though, it was, like, very Lindsay Sterling type style playing. I was like, you're spinning.
Yeah, she was, like, moving with it, which, you know, it has some, which I guess it's, like, magical on its own, and it's,
like, and, like
you have that, like, thing, but they're like, you're doing this on your
and
own.
And now you're... stopping people from attacking you because you're playing the violin.
It's too much. And I especially, like, it just makes the kids film, like, bloated. Like, it's already
you
fun enough that you have, like, a fun magical creature.
Right. And, like, I don't feel like necessarily the Yeti needed magic. And then I was like, all right, fine, I get it.
Like, I can,
and then they gave the
that.
Violin magic. I was
like
nope,
too much.
I'm out.
I don't know. I still want the Yeti as a plush, so that's DreamWorks, get on it.
Please, if you haven't already.
So, Mariam.
Yes.
Will you be watching this film in theaters, Bargain Tuesday, Netflix, VOD, never?
Definitely not in theaters.
Okay.
Just because, like, if it had a more solid plot.
That was shown in the trailer.
And just in general, like, I feel like if you had a really solid plot, you would theoretically show a little bit of it, and
very true.
Bits and pieces, like, we're gonna
not being
this.
Like, well, we're only gonna show the evil man once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe Netflix? Like, it'll depend. Like, if it gets good reviews, I'll maybe watch it on Netflix, but if it doesn't, and I don't get, like, good word-of-mouth reviews either, I'm gonna probably never watch
it.
Unless I'm forced to by children.
Kids movie.
Woo. Kelsey,
yes.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking Netflix, you know, depending on my mood. If I feel like I need, like, a kids movie, like, at 12 in the morning. 2 a.m.
Whatever.
Like I did with Wreck-It Ralph. Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Oh,
I watched it in the middle of the night.
I only watched
bad
the
choice.
Beginning, and it wasn't that bad at the very beginning, so I was like, okay, and then I got off the flight.
I was on my phone the whole time during that movie.
I got to see the princess scene.
The princess scene was
and
probably the best scene of the whole film.
Yep, and the baby Groot.
That was great.
Scene.
Jason Mantzoukas was there. I was a voice, and it was really, I was like, what are you doing in this movie? Because he was the guy with the white shirt.
Okay, yeah.
That was him.
And I got through that part, and I was like, okay, I'm happy.
That's all that.
And that's all I needed. And it was good.
Because that was some hardcore Marvel facts that Jason Mantzoukas was spitting during that, and it was great.
What up?
Pete mentioned Captain America. Anyway, Netflix.
Okay, sounds great. So we're going to take a little break.
Just
and
a
then
little one.
We'll come back and talk about Official Secrets.
Great.
All right.
Talk to you soon. And we are back with our next trailer, Official Secrets. Dun dun.
I like when Kelsey adds sound effects to a movie's title or anything like that.
I'm a self-made Foley artist.
Oh my god, I can't.
Okay. Right. So, Official Secrets. The release date is the end of the month, August 30th.
All right.
The director is Gavin Hood.
So he directed Ender's Game, Wolverine.
How?
Not Logan.
Origins.
But the Origins. So the bad one that was the solo movie.
You mean the good one?
No, it's the bad one. It's the bad one. And he also is one of the credited writers.
Yes.
And he has written Ender's Game.
Okay.
And then I can't tell from my handwriting whether he wrote or directed things like Rendition and Eye in the Sky. I think he directed Eye in the Sky because it said from the Oscar award or Oscar nominated director for this. And I was like, I don't know what that movie is. But it's okay.
It's fine. So the writers, like you said, Gavin Hood is also a writer. We also have Gregory Bernstein and Sarah Bernstein as well. And it's based on the book by Marcia Mitchell and Thomas Mitchell.
I know. A lot of like
relationships. Don't know if they're siblings or, you know, or
spouses. Yeah. But the Bernsteins, either siblings or couple, have done movies like Call Me Claus, which was like a TV movie. But then they did another film, The Conspirator, which is about like Abraham Lincoln focused,
okay,
like
so
things. So very similar to this, but about Lincoln.
So they have like the politics kind
yes.
of like wrapped
yes.
around
so
their finger.
It from one movie, and then the other one is the other end of the spectrum, and then they've done like a short film together, and that's it.
All right.
So
I mean, well, this is technically an quote unquote independent film. This is produced by IFC, which
right.
is the Independent Film Channel.
Yep.
So it is. I mean. Granted, that's more of the distributor, so...
Right.
Granted.
The composer mm-hmm. for this... There are two composers.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Hepker, who worked with them
mm-hmm.
previously.
Well, I haven't heard their name before.
We have not had him
before. Okay.
But he has done films like Rendition, Eye in the Sky, and then the other composer is Mark Killian. And he has done also worked on Rendition and Eye in the Sky.
Okay.
He's done a lot of TV. And he also did Pitch Perfect, which is a well-composed movie.
That is a well-composed movie. I mean, it's an a cappella. You have to have it, like, well-composed
yeah.
to, like, make it work.
So,
but that, I did not expect that.
I know, right? Neither did I.
So the cast is huge. There's 80 credited people. Oh, boy. All right, here we go.
I'm ready.
I'm not.
Okay.
We have Keira Knightley, Matthew Good, hands up, Marianne says stop.
Yep.
Is this a rainbow connection?
Yes, so many rainbow connections. I could have made another one for Keira Knightley,
you
but I did
Colette.
Not.
Colette.
You, please see our previous episode covering
Colette,
both the trailer
and the reaction,
the yes.
movie breakdown.
Would you like to say your favorite thing from Colette?
Bonjour mon ami.
which is also the episode title because it's my favorite thing.
That's so good. All right, what is the Rainbow Connection for today?
So he was in a film called Imagine Me and You, which is like the one of the greatest lesbian movies ever. It is. It's so good, and it's got Piper Perabo and Lena Headey.
Lena Headey from Game of Thrones.
So this is before she was on Game of Thrones when you liked her as a character.
I do not like Cersei. I do like Lena Headey, though.
Yes.
She's great.
Yes, she's wonderful, but is super wonderful in Imagine Me and You. And that's a great film, and it's gay, and it's great, and he's in it.
Matthew Good is also in the BBC series, The Book of Life. Wow, I could not think of it. No, A Discovery of Witches, sorry.
Which is not a great show,
unfortunately. Personal opinion.
Is bang.
But the book series is wonderful. I highly recommend them. So we'll continue. We have Ralph Fiennes. We have Mayanna Burning. We have Matt Smith. People will know him as the 11th Doctor, or he's also on The Crown.
Yep.
We have Indira Varma. She was on Torchwood.
Kelsey and I had a heart attack trying to figure out how we knew her.
I was like, I know your face.
But why?
We have Rhys Ifans,
Harry Potter and Notting Hill.
We have Tamsin Gray, Hanoko Footman, Jack Farthing, Conley Hill, Kathleen Kelly, Hayley Morahan, Sean Dooley, Kenneth Cranham, Monica Dolan, Chris Larkin, Ray Danzaki. The list goes on and on. This is the British collective acting group.
It really is.
It really is. Like, you have all top tier actors here.
Yeah, absolutely. And we didn't. We just mentioned who everybody else was except for Ralph Fiennes, who obviously played Voldemort.
Yeah. I could have gone on. There's a lot of, like, big characters in this film because it's based on a true life thing that happened, kind of, maybe. I don't know.
I think it's based on a true story. Because it looked like from the book that it was.
One of those, like, this is what happened during this era. It's like a recent history type film.
Yeah.
Like Vice.
That's what I was thinking, too. That's what I was watching.
Well, it took place in the same time. I mean, 2003.
Yeah. So. Like, it's about
the Iraq War. It's about Iraq, the Iraq War and everything. Do you want to get into it?
Yeah, let's just jump into it. Because we're already talking about what it's about.
Yeah. So, I don't know if it's just been a while. I haven't seen a fucking MPAA rating before a trailer on, like, online in a while.
I don't know if I saw it on mine, but know what I got that I was so frustrated by? The little mini trailer thing that they do first, the like 3 second other thing. I was like, get it off my
screen! Just get on with it.
But I had gotten it for Abominable 2 and this, and I was like, this is so stupid. And I was like, I don't need to see a 3 second, like, faster version of this trailer before watching this trailer.
I just, like, don't understand what studio, like, they're like, we get it, like, we're about to watch it, we don't need to get prepared for it. Unless you're counting down, like, a live event, like, online, being like, all right, in 3, 2, 1, here's the trailer. Like, we don't need it.
But, like, I get it. Like, maybe you probably have to have, like, those 5 second things that they can use for quick ads on, like, YouTube and stuff like that. But it doesn't mean you need to put it in before your trailer.
No, not at all. Like, it's just so fucking annoying.
So that was really frustrating.
Yeah. So the MPAA rating for this film is rated R. And it's rated R for language and language only. That's the only thing I saw, which is, like, it annoys me because it goes on the trope that it's, like, only people in politics, like, swear out of their butt. Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's, like, okay, like, they're probably going to say, like, fuck a bunch of times.
I'm surprised it didn't have also content, considering that we're talking about, like, conspiracy theories in the government.
One, consider that an MPAA rating. The MPAA mostly looks for language and sex.
I know, but, like, sometimes when they're looking for, like, adult, like, content kind of thing, like, sometimes for, like, things that are thriller-esque,
Right. Oh,
that this could
the thing
be
is, I don't consider. I didn't get a thriller vibe from this film, though. That's the thing.
Well, when she was like on the train and she was looking around, like I have a feeling there's going to be some like following and stalking
right.
and those kinds of elements. So that's
true.
Where I was like, okay, maybe that's contributing to the rating.
I mean, it could be, but I think they would like say like adult content.
Yeah.
It.
So I'm surprised. I didn't
yeah.
get the
oh
MPAA
yeah
in mind,
yeah.
So that's
so,
why I'm like. That's why I'm surprised. Because you
it
would think that there
weird.
Would be some adult
yeah,
content
I mean,
in this
like,
just because, of the nature of what this film
it's
is.
It's talking about the war and everything. Maybe,
right.
like, the NPA is like, yeah, they're smart.
We just wrote down language.
Just because it's like,
we're
don't
tired.
Bring your 15-year-olds or whatever. Don't
yeah.
bring your, or maybe it's like, because it's like, don't bring your, like, 10-year-olds, but maybe it's good to bring your 15-year-olds to the film to learn about, you know, history.
I don't know that if that's what the MPA thinks.
No,
actually.
They're just like, yeah, there's no sex in this.
They're like,
fine.
You know what? Language.
Language. but it's like such a British
Sorry.
Thing to be like, oh, the only reason why we're considering this R is just because they're saying like fuck a bunch of times. I mean, like, all you need
Wait.
To make it like an R rating for a film and for a language is literally to have the word fuck more than once. And that's it. Which is wild.
I know. The MPAA sucks.
It really does. There's a really good documentary about the MPAA and, like, what they're actually there
yeah.
for. And it's, like, their whole reason is because it's actually, like, Christian conservative
yes.
people.
Mm-hmm. Or you can just watch The Celluloid Closet. We'll talk enough about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So there's... Go watch that.
Yeah.
Highly recommended. So...
All right. So let's jump into the trailer.
Were we not already?
I know, but I mean, like, I don't know. I guess we were talking about, like, things we didn't like about the construction of the beginning
okay.
of the trailer. And I was like, all right, let's jump into the rest of it.
Okay.
No, I know Kelsey's like, I've checked off some marks.
I've already checked off some notes. question. How did you feel about our good old friend Keira Knightley?
Okay, so... so, Kelsey and I always talk about Keira Knightley because, like... Sometimes she does a really good job, like in Colette.
She was
wonderful and like did an amazing job and really was super expressive, which are things that we don't see from her a lot and things like that.
And a lot of like her like expression comes from her mouth, usually. But
Kelsey has very specific examples. Please listen to our full episode
yeah.
about Jour Monami.
And you'll get the whole reason why I love her performance.
Yes, yeah. I, you know...
The trailers are hard to
It's
base
hard
on
to
one.
Really base
yeah.
it off of because you don't know what you're getting. But
right.
sometimes I'm like...
Oh, but I know
I
what I'm going to get.
I'm probably having a little bit more conflict in my face if I was getting questioned by my boss about whether I'm a spy for a different government or not.
Yeah. She did
but
it like...
That's
she
just
She did this
me.
Like full face emotion like once in the trailer.
Yeah.
And like I get like you're trying to like be like... Trying to be inquisitive, so you're, like, squinting your eyes, maybe. But there is, like, one part
she's
where
like,
she, like,
detective.
She face acted, which I was like, oh my god, you did it. And then...
I'm so proud.
And I was like, at first, I was like, oh my god, yes, girl, you're acting. I love
we
it.
We got this.
And then, all of a sudden, it turned, and I went, never mind.
Or not.
Oh, boy.
But I really liked... What'd you think of the opening scene? Like, the very opening when she's sitting on the couch and she's, like, and it's a Tony Blair talking on the screen, like, on
right.
TV, and she's talking about how, like, she's like, why are people just believing? He's just saying the same thing over and over. He's not actually giving us facts
right.
or reasons. And I was like, pause,
boom.
I gotta write down
because
some notes.
I feel like
I was like, that's very relatable.
It's very good to, like, have that in film.
I felt that was
especially
good.
Especially, like, now, because it's, I feel like this film will be very... I mean, as we know, time is a flat circle, as repeated by Matthew McConaughey in True Detective, and how, you know, things in history always do repeat themselves. I mean, they always say, like, history repeats itself, and everyone's like, eh,
we learned,
that.
Just
it's
kidding.
Like, well, no, we're
seeing that currently right now, US.
Unfortunately. And so there's this endless cycle of being like, well, let me make art based on the history that's
right.
subjective now
right.
and works now and everything.
Right.
So I did think that was, like, a really good additive.
Yeah, and I think that,
yeah.
so just using that as an opening was, like, an immediate, like, catch
it was
for me.
Like,
I was
like,
that
it
was
worked.
Really
it
good.
Worked.
And, like, also Keira Knightley did a good job when she was talking
right.
during that scene. And I was like, oh, good work. We're going
right.
to be great. This is going to be a great film.
And then it wasn't.
But, But I liked, like, that she, like, how she questioned it, like, the phrasing. Like, I feel like
the writing
in this
movie
is going to be really good.
But the thing is, it's also based
on the
book.
So,
so the writing's already technically kind of there.
Yeah, so I don't know how much is pulled from the book, because obviously if you're creating dialogue, then
right.
you're creating
well,
it for the
screenplay.
It's a
little different because it's, like, narrative
and
everything.
So it depends on how the book's written.
Right.
But if
but
it's not written with any...
But the plot's technically kind of already there, then.
Right. But dialogue writing. Like,
right,
I felt
exactly.
like the dialogue
yes.
in that... Like, how she phrased it and things like that, and, like, how you made that, like, like...
You kind of, like, have the connection with it.
Right,
you know?
Right,
yeah.
right. And, like, how they made her make that argument and, like, give that cohesive thought in, like, a good sentence was really like,
yeah.
well done. So I feel like the writing, dialogue-wise and things like that, like, screenplay-wise, is
yeah.
going to be really good.
We can tell this is a spy film because of the dark colors and the dark and bland colors and lighting.
And the writing that we got in the middle of the thing.
It was so,
and
like,
they were like, let me put
typical.
Black over it to show that it might have been redacted information.
Yeah. And it was, it's, to me, I mean, like, okay. Were you confused?
When?
The whole trailer?
So I think that the first time I watched it, I was like, all right, let me watch it again, because I always watch our trailers twice,
right.
because otherwise I miss
to.
Everything.
Yeah.
I got it more, but I'd also read the description when I was choosing
yeah,
a trailer.
Right.
So I had read it, and I was like, oh, this sounds like a really interesting plot idea. So I kind of knew a little bit about what it was about, and I follow the plot better on the second viewing of the trailer.
Right.
Because I'd had more
right.
time to really think about it, but...
I felt as though I was, like, missing something when watching it. I felt like something was just, like, lost, and, like, all of a sudden it's the end of the trailer. I'm like, fuck, I gotta rewatch this two more times, because I'm like, I just felt there was, like, nothing, like, really pulling me in.
I was hoping that
there was, like, one thing
beyond
that
opening scene, there
yeah.
would be something else that was really pulling you, because, like, I felt like that was the thing that pulled me the most, and if that
right.
hadn't, it would not have been as successful.
Right.
Like, as effective, I guess, as a trailer.
I mean, honestly, I tried rewatching it. I got distracted by, like, other trailers on the side of the YouTube, like, halfway through, like, my third viewing.
Oh,
I was just
God.
Like,
oh no,
the It trailer's there? Oh, A Million Little Pieces just got released? Like, oh, what's this shiny object? And so I felt like, I don't know, I just feel like this movie's gonna be, like, another, like, bland British spy film that'll, like, kind of accumulate to nothing, unfortunately.
So I thought, like, just going back to, like, the writing and the coming up in the middle, like,
yeah.
it didn't bother me as much. I feel like if they'd done it, like, one more time, I would have been like, I'm gonna murder you guys, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, stop it! But I thought that the movie had, like what you're getting from the trailer had really good, like, themes
mm-hmm.
and stuff in it, and, like, I think the fact that it's a book and it's based on a true event is definitely a lot more interesting to
yeah.
me. And I'm not, like, a huge conspiracy theory kind of person, because often they make those into, like, thriller slash, like,
it's very
political
true. I mean, that's true.
Films,
they...
I'm like, I don't do that.
Yeah.
But I'm always interested in, like, learning the background, so,
like the
I'm like, ooh, I could read the
it.
Book.
Right, the politics behind it and, like, what actually happened is
that's interesting.
Really interesting. Like, it makes sense as to why they made it into a film.
Yes.
Like, the film element is there. You have
yes.
the conspirator, you have who's a woman, you have this, you know, British government that we don't usually see during the early days of the
right.
Iraqi War
and
everything. And
we don't, you know, they don't call out the British government as much as they call it the American
yes.
government, so it's very going to be very interesting to see that.
There's a
too.
Different dynamic to it, so, like, I understand the flame that was lit.
Yeah.
You know, like,
oh,
I get it.
And the quote in the middle that also, like, kind of hooked me back in a little bit
yeah.
was when Keira Knightley's character, Catherine, I think is her name, said... when they were like, oh, is your duty to the British government? And she was like, no, it's to the British people.
Yeah.
She was
yeah.
like, and when the people deserve to know if their government's lying to them. And I was like, ooh, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
I was like, it's very bringing back, like, some, like, V for Vendetta kind of
yeah.
ideals for me, which was good. And, like, I love that movie.
Yeah.
So I was like, if that brings it, obviously it's not going to be in the same way.
Right.
Obviously.
It's not a comic book.
But it's going
right.
to be, like, but those similar themes of, like, government.
Right. So, like, to me, because I do watch a lot of those, like, British, like, government conspiracy type thriller action-y films,
mm-hmm.
it just seems a little bit regurgitated and kind of, like, a little overdone. But again, I felt as though if there was, like, a little bit better, like, trailer-wise, yeah. I think I would have been hooked a little bit more. Like, if the trailer was a little bit more fast-paced and a little bit more less British, the British, like,
you
acting
collective.
You can tell
who this is, like, made for.
It's really made for, like...
A British audience.
It's a British audience that wants to watch American politics films.
Well, it's a British politics film, too.
But it's made for the British people who want to watch and understand American politics films. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's like, they're saying, like, they want to understand Vice, but they don't get it because it's, like, not their politics. Like, this is their, like, Vice, essentially.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, even though it's, like, not Vice, it's a different
thing. I get it.
But you know what I mean. Like, they're interested to learn, like, the recent history of the Iraqi war, which is so American
with their
focused
own,
with their own
government
type thing.
Yeah.
They're trying.
The sound editing was really good.
Yeah.
There. I was like, ooh.
The cinematography and like the production design I loved. It
was
a little dark, but I loved it. And I thought that was really interesting, the way the colors are. I mean, like, usually when you're thinking like British, think like grays, not beiges.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a different type, you know?
You were like, ooh, we're breaking
ooh,
out of our normal
we're trying.
This is great.
But yeah.
All right.
Are you going to see this in theaters, Bargain Tuesday, Netflix VOD, never?
So I won't see it in theaters, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I would be interested to learn more about it. So that either means I would probably watch it on Netflix,
mm-hmm.
either that, or if I got... or if the book, like, sometimes books like this that are conspiracy theory based are a little bit dry, a little bit hard to get through. So if the book is not like that, I might read the book instead of watching the movie. But if not, I might watch it on Netflix just because I'm interested. Because I haven't, like, I've heard a lot about the Iraq War and, like, know a lot about that and kind of background stuff with the government.
Right.
But I don't hear, like, no.
You don't hear the
no,
British
I don't,
side.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about the British side, so it'd be interesting to learn.
Yes.
And you?
No.
I know, I saw your
snow.
Earlier when we started recording, like, Kelsey had her notes open and it just says no really big at the bottom. And I was like, oh, so Kelsey felt real great about that, Kim.
I just, like, I don't know if it's just because my mood today or, like, how I just feel about this film. I just feel as though I will fall asleep during this film and I will just be sitting in the chair in the theater being like, when will this be over? And I feel like if I watch this on Netflix, it's going to take me days to get through. Just because generally when I watch Netflix, it's like right before bed.
Right.
So it's...
You're going to be like, whoa, is that in 30 seconds tonight? That's great.
That's a new record. I wonder why. So yeah.
All right.
Great discussion.
Great.
Should we do some business?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I think it's a miracle that we didn't mention everything during the episode.
I know. We usually like...
We usually
our own plugs. I mean, we plugged our own past episodes, but that's it.
But we didn't plug our social media, which is...
So if you would like to contact us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, we are at Too Many Trailers, so it's TWO Many Trailers. And
if you want to reach us by email and send us some interesting facts about official secrets, like the book or what actually happened... If you want to talk to us more about abominable or, you know, Chinese culture and what is wrong or what does
right.
it right
yeah.
In this film, feel free to contact us by email with TooManyTrailers@gmail.com. That's TWOManyTrailers@gmail.com.
And we are coming off of our San Diego Comic-Con extravaganza.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
we are. The second annual... thing. So if you are new and listening, like, definitely go back and listen to that episode if you're interested in any of the Marvel releases or any big information that came out of Comic-Con this
year. You can understand what we do twice a year
with
the same format we did last year and with our year in review. But if you do want to keep listening to us, feel free to rate us 5 stars and or rate what you like, but 5 stars
but like
would
five
be better.
5 stars is preferable.
You can subscribe in iTunes, Anchor, Overcast, Spotify,
and
now
Google Play. So we are now available to more Android users.
Yes.
So if you're an Android user who is frustrated with not being able to access us as easily, you would now have a simpler way.
It's a miracle.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. And before we end our episode, I like to just give off a little word of advice, advice.
We're just gonna call it. I think you can say word of advice, and it still counts if it's a phrase, right?
Great. So if you would like to, as we end our episode, we like to give off a little word of advice. Don't judge a movie by its trailer. Leave that up to us. Have a great rest of your whenever, and talk to you soon.
Bye. Bye.